Welcome to another program of Heart and Soul, playing the music of the church throughout the ages, from ancient modern hymns to songs of praise and worship from the early days to the songs of today. Heart and Soul comes to you each week with a Bible message also to encourage and challenge you. Now, here is your host for today's program.
Welcome to this week's edition of Heart and Soul. This is David Evans, your host for today. Listen later for today's word and also the feature hymn, plus plenty of other music of the church throughout the ages. Let's commence with the Scottish Festival Singers with the hymn about church, We Love the Place, O God.
Yeah.
led by Cliff Barrows, the Billy Graham Scotland Choir, with that great hymn, And Can It Be? This is Heart and Soul. Now we turn to an English boys' choir called Libera, who have presented on the BBC programme Songs of Praise with their melodic presentation called Far Away.
Heart and Soul.
Thank you.
was Phil and Kim Collingsworth with a trumpet medley of great songs like Sing to the Lord, The Name Above All Names, and The Trees of the Field. Coming up next, we have our feature hymn.
You're with Heart and Soul, the music of the church throughout the ages.
Isaac Williams was born in London in 1802. His father was a barrister. The son studied at Trinity College, Oxford, where he gained the prize for Latin verse. One of his hymns was our feature hymn today, Be Thou Guardian and My Guide, and is sung today to the tune A Bridge, and is sung by the choir of Temple Church, London.
Just as I
J.H. Maunder composed the oratorio Olivet to Calvary, and we heard the hymn Just As I Am to the tune in the work sung by the choir of Guildford Cathedral.
Beautiful beyond description.
That was Annie Herring, who was part of the early group The Second Chapter of Acts from the Jesus Movement genre, and here she sang song You Are Beautiful Beyond Description. Don Marsh and his orchestra and chorus brought us the song You Are Good. Up ahead, we have today's word and more music. Stay with us.
This is Heart and Soul, the music of the church throughout the ages.
Take my hands and let them move. word from David.
On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ uttered seven sayings, and we're going to look at the fifth one for today, and it's found in John 19:28, and it's the words, "I thirst." It's near the end of Jesus' human life, and he senses it. He's hung on the cross for 6 hours now. It's become hard for Jesus to even get a breath. Hung from his arms, he must pull himself up each time he wants to breathe. His shoulders ache, his mouth is parched, he is exhausted. And yet, he doesn't want to die without a final word. He asks for something to drink to wet his lips for this final effort. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips, John 19:28-29. What scripture was fulfilled here? A psalm of lamentation written by David seems to have been fulfilled literally in Jesus. Psalm 69:21 said, "They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." Apparently Jesus asked for something to quench his thirst in order to fulfill Psalm 69:21. There was the first offering of wine. This was the first time Jesus had been offered wine. Both Mark and Matthew observed that he was offered bitter wine just prior to being crucified. Perhaps this was intended as an intoxicant for those about to suffer pain. A group of Jerusalem women, as an act of piety, provided for a condemned man a vessel of wine containing a grain of frankincense to numb him. Jesus refuses to drink this. He has committed himself to the Father to offer himself as a sacrifice. And to attempt to lessen the pain of this sacrifice would have somehow been going back on this commitment. Then there was the second offering of wine vinegar, which was called posca. The offering of something to quench his thirst after hanging on the cross for some time is a separate incident recorded in John 19:29. Wine vinegar didn't have any alcohol left, but was sour wine that had turned to vinegar. Wine is made from grape juice. Yeast fermentation causes sugar to be transformed into alcohol, which continues until the alcohol content reaches about 11 to 12%. Wine vinegar, on the other hand, is made by the action of acetic acid bacteria on alcohol to produce acetic acid. Since the bacteria that causes this reaction are aerobic, they require that the wine be exposed to oxygen in order to form vinegar. What is a container of wine vinegar doing on Golgotha that day? It is posca, a drink popular with soldiers of the Roman army, made by diluting sour wine vinegar with water. It was inexpensive, considered more thirst-quenching than water alone, prevented scurvy, killed harmful bacteria in the water, and the vinegary taste made bad-smelling water more palatable. All over the empire, posca was the soldiers' drink of choice. The soldiers had brought posca to sustain them during their crucifixion duty. They weren't getting drunk on it, just using it to quench their own thirst. Then there is the sponge. While a condemned criminal might be able to drink wine prior to being crucified, drinking from a cup while hanging on the cross wasn't practical. So when Jesus indicated his thirst, the soldiers used a sponge to give him posca to slake his thirst. What was a sponge doing on Golgotha that day? It seemed scarcely the thing you'd expect to find. Again, sponges were part of a Roman soldier's kit. Sponges were found along the Mediterranean coast, were widely used in ancient times to line and pad a soldier's helmet. Soldiers also used sponges as drinking vessels. No doubt, one of the soldiers offered Jesus a drink of posca from his own supply using his own sponge. The soldier wasn't required to share his drink with the criminals under his care, but he had seen that Jesus was dying unlike any other criminal he had ever seen. No cursing, no blaming, no anger. What was it like to watch Jesus' slow death? Perhaps it had impressed the soldier with something like Peter's words. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Peter concludes the passage with something, however, that the soldier did not yet know, echoing the words of the suffering servant passage of Isaiah 53. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The posca offered by a soldier on his sponge that day was an act of mercy to the one who was bringing God's mercy to all humankind. Then there was the hyssop. They put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. John makes a point of specifying the hyssop plant, a small bush with blue flowers and highly aromatic leaves, whereas the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke refer to it as stick or reed. What is the significance of hyssop? Hyssop was used to sprinkle blood on the doorposts and lintels of the first Passover. It was associated with purification and sacrifices in the tabernacle. No doubt John had this in mind when he wrote his gospel. Receiving the posca, John tells us that Jesus actually drank some of the vinegary posca from the sponge. John 19:30, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. For a few seconds at least, Jesus sucked the posca from the sponge. He didn't drink long enough to slake what must have been moderate to severe dehydration from loss of blood, exposure to the elements, amid the necessity of gasping for breath through his mouth. The end was near, so he drank only enough to moisten his parched throat so that his last words of triumph might be heard across the hilltop of Golgotha. What does this word tell us? What does this fifth word say to us? I see three things that this word reminds us of. Number one, it talks of Jesus' physical humanity. First and probably of great importance, Jesus' word, "I thirst," reminds us of Jesus' physical nature, his humanity. This was no play acting on the cross, a divine being pretending to undergo a physical act of torture that could not touch him. This was tangible physical suffering, of which extreme thirst is one element most of us can readily identify with from our own personal experience. Then the second thing is that Jesus had an awareness of Scripture. "I thirst" reminds us of Jesus' extensive knowledge of the prophetic Scriptures concerning his suffering and death, and his willingness to fulfill each of them to the letter. The best known passage, of course, is the servant song from Isaiah 53. "He poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." He knew it well, and referred to it again and again. Jesus' action to ask for a drink is deliberately prompted by his knowledge of Scripture and determination to fulfill it. As John says in chapter 19:28, "So that the Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.'" And then thirdly, Jesus' determination to complete his task. Jesus said, "I thirst," to strengthen himself and ease his throat so that he might cry out his final words from the cross with a loud voice. He was summoning himself to bring it all to completion. This is the Saviour of the world. This is the one who gave himself completely that you and I might be set free and reconciled to God. But we need to come to him and acknowledge his death on the cross was for us personally, that by his stripes we have been healed, and today you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And I want to pray over this extreme thirst idea. Father, extreme thirst being parched is something I can relate to, but adding to the physical torment and exhaustion was the crushing spiritual aloneness. That is beyond my experience. Thank you for your love that conquered all to save us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. As you come to Christ, he will slake your thirst, and he will give you eternal life. Praise his wonderful name, and God bless you.
Sky to close the day. I wade the surf where dolphins play. The taste of salt, the dance of waves, and my soul wells up with hallelujahs. A lightning flash, my pounding star. Give testimony that you are, and my soul wells up with hallelujahs. Oh, praise Him, all His mighty works. There is no language where you can be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, cratered moon and sparrow's wings, oh, thunder's boom and Saturn's rings, unveil our Father as you sing, and my soul wells up with hallelujahs. Oh, praise Him, all His mighty works. There is no language where you can be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah. Of life within my wrist, a fallen snow, a rising mist. There is no higher praise than this, and my soul wells up, and my soul wells up, yes, my soul wells up with hallelujahs. Oh, praise Him, all His mighty works. There is no language where you can be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah,
Chris Rice with his own composition, Hallelujahs. More music ahead on Heart and Soul.
Playing the music of the church throughout the ages. This is Heart and Soul.
The great St. Mary's Cambridge Choir sings, Hark, a Herald Voice is Calling. There are some hymns that are called invitation hymns. A major one that comes to mind and was used in the Billy Graham Crusades was Just As I Am. These hymns were used in connection with altar calls for folk to come and receive Jesus as Saviour and Lord, or just to remind us that we need to actually come to Jesus. Another such hymn was Come to the Saviour Now. Each verse ended with the threefold Come, Come, Come. The hymn today is sung by Providence Praise, and the composer of the hymn was John Murch Wigner, who lived from 1844 till 1911 and was the son of a Baptist minister. Here's the song, Come to the Saviour Now.
He was only 3 years old when his mum bought him some new shoes. Now he won't wear anything else. He knew he looked good. Most of us are conscious of how we look in other people's eyes. We want a good image. But clothes only change how we look on the outside. It takes God to change our attitudes and inner nature. He does that through Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Interestingly, that was the Kiev Symphony Orchestra, Ukraine, and a chorus with the great resurrection hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. This is Heart and Soul with David Evans. To conclude today, here is the Don Marsh Orchestra and chorus with Blessed Be Your Name. That's it for today. This has been David Evans as your host today.
If you've been blessed by Heart and Soul, why not drop us a line? Our email address is heartandsoulmusic@bigpond.com. Or you might like to write to this radio station in appreciation for them bringing us to you. Heart and Soul is an Australian program.